coming up on All Access.
We're in 03. 1, 2, 3.
It's like a home game, B-Bo. Got some fun, huh? We're going to light them up.
Tom fires down the middle for Edelman. Leaps to make the grab. Comes down with a stiff arm. Runs away from a defender. In the clear to the 35-30. Edelman to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
But how do we feel about a victory Monday?
Came in from the left side of the Patriot formation, and he got the ciphers.
I apologize, because I didn't think it was anything serious when I saw him getting wrapped up, and I looked at him. I was like, "Are you okay?" He was like, "I'll be fine." And I was like, "Man, I'm sorry, bro. That was not meant to happen. It was just a freak accident."
Just tight end, Philly.
I never anticipated that I would be in the media.
Yeah, right there, because then I can highlight here.
I'm not surprised that any of us ended up going this route, because to tell you the truth, it's this or coaching.
I think in the beginning it was a little difficult to criticize, especially friends.
For us to beat the Miami Dolphins, we're going to have to play well, coach better, just do a better job than we have the last two times we played them. It's as simple as that.
It was the Patriots defense that took center stage in helping to lead the Pats to their 10th win of the season. Hello and welcome to Patriots All Access presented by Geico. I'm Steve Burton. That's 10 or more wins a year for the Patriots for 12 straight years. Certainly that's not the end goal for this team. Not by a long shot. But enjoy it, Patriot fans. We're witnessing something unique in the history of the National Football League. To get to 11 wins will be no easy feat. The Miami Dolphins come to Foxborough as one of three teams that have beaten the Patriots this year. We'll preview the game. But first, we begin with a look back at the sights and sounds from the win over the Chargers, which began with a week of preparation on the West Coast.
The sounds of the game are brought to you by Bose, the official sound of the New England Patriots.
This run pass checked.
It's like a home game, Beast Mode.
Got some fun, huh? This is gonna light him up.
Come on now, let it go. Let it go.
You'll be pretty sweet. It's all gonna pay off tonight.
1-0-3. 1-2-3. Win.
Oh, baby.
Nice job. Third down stop. Everybody good?
That's blocked. Bolden came in from the left side of the Patriots formation, and he got the ciphers. Shotgun snap to Brady. He throws for Gronkowski. Back shoulder. Touchdown, Patriots. Goes down the middle, open receiver, bubbled, and then the deflection picked off by Devin McCourty. A lot of flags on the play as he races past the 20 to the 10, diving to the end zone. McCourty got in for an apparent touchdown.
Prior to the interception, personal foul. Helmet to helmet hit, number 39 of the defense. 15-yard penalty, automatic first down.
We just got to control what we control. Keep playing, man.
Tom fires down the middle for Edelman. Leaps to make the grab. Comes down with a stiff arm. Runs away from a defender. In the clear to the 35-30. Edelman to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots. Patriots drill off the far sideline.
It's a crab, baby. Woo!
Great job, White.
What a win, huh? What a win. That was awesome.
Great job, fellas, coming out here, working your ass off all week. A lot of film, a lot of preparation, a lot of rest. That's the way to go out there and lay it on the line. That's a damn good win. Way to come out here in California and get one. And we'll see everybody Wednesday. Yeah!
I like it now.
Reach.
But how do we feel about a Victory Monday?
Oh, yeah!
Time now for Coffee with the Coach, brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts.
Welcome back to Patriots All Access. Time to sit down with the coach once again. Coach, get to see you this week. Didn't see you last week out in San Diego. Yeah, you missed me. Bob Soucy did a pretty darn good job. Conference call this week. I'm sitting there. I'm listening to it. And you talked about and you credited the fans for coming out. And I've been covering a team a long time. You've been coaching a long time. Haven't seen that many fans support the Patriots like they did on the road. Was that
fun
to
see? That was amazing. And it started right from the beginning of the game. It wasn't remember a couple games in Pittsburgh, big games, championship games and all that. They all came down behind our bench, but it's only maybe a couple thousand. Here, it was seemed like the whole lower bowl there behind our bench was all Patriot jerseys, Patriot fans. And they were cheering us when we came out on the field, which that's really unusual. You know, the fans were awesome, and, you know, there's a couple times when I had my back turned to the field and they'd start cheering on. You hear the crowd, and then you're thinking, like, oh, no, what just happened? But it was a good play for us. It was our fans. So they were loud, and there were a lot of them. They were loud.
It's a big win for your team on the road against an 8-4 football team. Your offense sputtered down inside the red zone a little bit, yet your special teams, you get the big play from Brandon Bolden. Your defense hung in there. How big is that when you guys come together as a team, all three units, to keep the other unit in it and let them make a play, and the offense finally got it going at the end of the game?
Yeah, no, I mean, it was good, and certainly we've been on the other side of that where the defense is struggling, the offense, you know, keeps us in it or makes plays. But our field position in the third quarter was really exceptional between our special teams and then our defense kind of maintaining the field position. And each yard, every possession, every potential scoring opportunity was looming, you know, bigger and bigger as there were fewer possessions in the game. So,
all right, you're out there in San Diego. We all know your connections with the Naval Academy. You had a chance to take your team. Why did you take your team to the Naval Hospital to meet up with a lot of wounded warriors, and how much did that mean to your football team?
Well, our team doctor, Matt Preventure, had worked out there and had some connections, and so you know, he mentioned it to me. He was able to set it up, and we just felt like it would be good to split up, let everybody just go in different directions, get to as many people in many rooms and many patients as we could, and just each have a kind of an individual experience. But it was amazing. Those people are, you know, they're the real heroes. They're out there fighting for our country, getting wounded and amputees, double amputees. I mean, some, you know, tough situations. And all they talk about is getting back with their team, helping to fight some more, to go back on duty, you know, and they're preserving our freedom and allowing us to do what we do. So it was a great experience for us, and I think they also appreciated, you know, the team being there to just be able to share some time with them. So it was a great experience all the way around.
Great stuff right there. Coach will return later in the show to talk about the Miami Dolphins, but first let's take a look at the Patriots' visit to the Naval Hospital to visit all the wounded warriors.
Commanding officer here, and
let's see.
All excited to come here and do this. I think it is very important that we had this opportunity.
Hi, sir, how you doing? How are you?
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, Tom.
Our team doctor has a history with the Navy, and obviously Coach has a history as well. They understand the importance of what these men and women do.
Thanks for having us. Appreciate it.
Awesome.
How you doing? How
you
doing?
Sure.
There you go. Thank you, Eskimo.
Thank you for everything. Thank you.
Coach Belichick was definitely all on board, and what was initially going to be a visit from a few players has turned into a volunteer from the whole team to come see some of our soldiers and sailors, so it's been great.
It's a great opportunity to come here and thank them for what they do. Humbling to be here. Thankful to these men and women and the sacrifices that they've made for us and our families.
Coming up on All Access,
we sit down with Brandon Bolden.
Yeah, I would love to play offense, sure. But I love what I'm doing on special teams right now.
And later, it's a new twist on a Patriots holiday tradition.
Hopefully I get decorated really nice today.
You're watching Patriots All Access.
Patriots All Access is brought to you by Putnam Investments, a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through new ways of thinking. And by Gillette FlexBall, the official shave of the New England Patriots. And by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
Welcome back to All Access, presented by GEICO. 3 games left in the regular season, and all 3 opponents are AFC East teams, beginning Sunday against Miami. Jackie Burton tells us a win on Sunday could earn the Patriots hats and T-shirts.
Patriots win it over San Diego to improve to 10-3.
A week in San Diego was good for the Patriots. Team bonding and great preparation out west helped lead the Patriots to their 7th win in 8 games.
Hopefully it could carry over for the rest of the season, but I thought it was good, the extra hours and time we got to spend together.
Now a path has been cleared for the remainder of the regular season, a chance to clinch their 6th division title in a row, tied for the most in 40 years.
Each week you want to get a win regardless of the situation, really. If they're going to give you a hat and a T-shirt, you know, that's cool too, you know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, you want to prepare to win each game, and that's the only thing we're really worried about.
And another sack by Wick. The Dolphins can start celebrating.
Getting that win will not be easy, because standing in their way are the Miami Dolphins. Miami beat the Patriots way back in week 1, overcoming a halftime deficit and outscoring New England 23-0 in the second half to win going away. Might revenge be on the mind of the Patriots?
There'll be a lot of emotion and energy there. It's a very, it's a very competitive game. It's a very competitive division. So everything's on the line.
A lot has changed since that week 1 meeting in South Florida when the Patriots' offensive line allowed 4 sacks, a number that hasn't been that high since. They've allowed just 3 in the last 5 weeks, but this week's rematch will feature yet another challenge to protect Tom Brady. From the CBS scene, I'm Jackie Britton for Patriots All Access.
Hi, Jackie Britton. Thank you very much. Joining me now is Patriots running back Brandon Bolden. First of all, congratulations on the run that this team has been on so far, coming back from the West Coast. And talk about, if you would, that West Coast trip. Did it give you guys a chance to bond?
Yeah, we had a lot of time to bond. We had a lot of time in the hotel. Gave us a whole week to kind of just be around each other. And especially after a tough loss, we needed someone to lean on. And we looked to each other for that comfort, for that I feel so bad that we lost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because there's no wives, no girlfriends, right?
Everybody, nobody.
It's just you guys.
It's just us guys. And it's the coaches. And, you know, coaches have their own side of the game mm-hmm. they have to deal with, and the players have their own side. So kind of get off of work and then just kind of go back to your room and just hang out with if you have a roommate at the hotel, or you could go to the next room over and kind of just hang out with those guys. It was a great trip.
Tell me, if you would, about the block punt, because that pretty much sparked this team. It really took this team to a whole nother level.
The block punt is actually kind of funny. Me and Matthew Slater, we both line up at ends on punt return, and we tell each other every game, hey, we got to get one. We need one. I didn't know I was going to get that close to it, but I knew I got a good jump on him because he didn't move when I moved. As my eyes went from ball to him in a split second. He didn't move, and so when he put his hands out to get me, I dip my shoulder, and we call it dip and crank, and I crank with my left arm to give me a little momentum towards the punter. And it was, I cleared him, and there's the punter's leg. Throw your other hand, B. Bat the ball. I tried to bat it towards me, and it went the other direction. It said on me, that's a block punt. We get the ball right here.
Right there.
And that's when all the excitement came out. But all the excitement kind of went down once I got to the sideline, all the coaches and players, everybody's like, oh, great job. And then there's like, oh, there's a card on the field. And at first
Cyphers
I thought it was
down.
One of our guys, but it was Cyphers. And right. I looked back and I was like, oh, I feel terrible. It's all the, yeah, hurrah. I just went to, oh. So I ran out there and I apologized, told him it was, I wasn't trying to get you hurt or anything. I asked him if he was all right. He said he would be fine. He gave me the thumbs up, so I said we're good.
You were brought here as a running back.
Yes.
You don't get a whole lot of running back opportunities, but you do cash in when you do get them.
Yeah.
Tell me your mentality now, because on special teams, Is that your time to shine?
Yeah, that's how I look at it now. It's this main core special teams guy. I'm on all four of them, so I have an opportunity to make a play on four times out of the, what, five, if you want to count offense. So I try to make the most out of those four opportunities. If I get out there, go make a tackle on kickoff or make a big block on kickoff return or on punt, make a tackle, punt return, get a block punt or set up a block for one of Julian or Danny's punt returns.
Right.
I win in that book. And offense isn't – I mean, I would love to play offense, sure, but I love what I'm doing on special teams right now.
We'll end it on that. Good luck this weekend.
Thank you.
Brandon Bolden, and I guess we'll be back with more Patriots All Access right after this.
Patriots All Access is brought to you by GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Congratulations to Coach Rick White of Dartmouth High School. He's been selected as our high school coach of the year thanks to Dartmouth beating Melrose 14-7 in the Division III championship game. Presenting the award is Patriots Hall of Fame linebacker Andre Tippett. The Patriots Charitable Foundation will donate $2,000 to the Dartmouth football program in the name of Coach Rick White.
Dominate on three. One, two, three.
Dominate!
Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm Christian Fourier with this week's edition of the SB Live Point Counterpoint Debate. All right, the Pats are 10-3, and they made it through that six-game gauntlet of games, finishing 5-1. So, with that, what is the most important win out of those five games?
It was on the road in December against a good offense, a good defense, and against a team that was fighting for a playoff spot. The San Diego Chargers was the most impressive win in this stretch.
We need to remember a lot has changed in the last month plus. The Broncos were the dominant team in football when they came to Gillette Stadium. They were blowing people out, scoring 30-plus points every week, not giving up more than 20-something, and then the Patriots flipped it on them. They held that diverse offense, Peyton Manning, in check, and they scored a ton of points. Broncos were the best win. I think Christian might agree with me.
All right, I personally feel like every single one of them was impressive, especially the early game. So I'm going to stick with Denver. Peyton Manning coming to New England, trying to get that win. They got two turnovers. They slowed them down. They beat the Broncos at their own game. All right, I'm Christian Fourier with this week's edition of the SB Live Point Counterpoint Debate.
For the most compelling Patriots talk in season, listen to Patriots Football Weekly in Progress every Tuesday through Thursday from noon to 2 p.m.
Welcome back to the show. Coach rejoins me now. We talk about this week's opponent, the Miami Dolphins. It's been, what, 13, 14 weeks since you played them. We know your football team has changed. How much have the Dolphins changed?
Well, they've moved along a little bit. Certainly getting Pouncey back in the middle of the offensive line has helped them. Landry's really emerged, gone through a little transition at the corner position, but looks like those guys may be healthy this week for him. So, a little bit of transition at safety. We didn't see Jones in the opener. It looks like he's back. He almost got hurt last week. So, overall, fundamentally, it's pretty close to the same matchup that we had.
They played well early in that Baltimore game last week at home. They get out to the quick start. They lose to Baltimore. Kind of got a desperate team now fighting for their season. How much is your football team aware of that and what they're going to give you?
Yeah, well, obviously, we have all the respect in the world for the Dolphins. They've beaten us, two straight games. We really weren't very competitive down there in the second half. They outscored us 23-0 and out everything to us, offense, defense, special teams, turnovers, everything. It was just a lot of dominance on their part. And, they came back and, beat us last year down there too. So, for us to beat the Miami Dolphins, we're going to have to play well, coach better, just do a better job than we have the last two times we played them. It's as simple as that.
Okay, time now for the Ace Ticket Twitter question of the week. Comes from @JimT81. Wants to ask you about emotion. Watching that game last week, you see the big hit by Browner seemed to ignite your team. Your quarterback was fired up, running up and down the sideline. Saw you fired up on the sideline. How much does emotion swing in a football game?
Well, I think on the coaching end of it, you know, for the most part, we try to keep fairly calm because we're making decisions, trying to figure out what we're going to do next, what our next move is and all that. And try not to get overly caught up in the emotion of the game. Of course, it's easy to get emotional when we have a good play. But, you know, from a player standpoint, it's a very emotional game, and playing with emotion and energy and that positive enthusiasm for your teammates when things go well is, you know, it's a huge part of the game. And, you know, I think it plays into it a lot, and I haven't been around any great players that didn't have that energy and that emotion. So I'm always glad to see it come out in our players.
All right, good stuff. You talked about Landry with the Dolphins. Bellestrader later in the show, you'll be back for that. Look, a lot of special teams?
Yeah, he's doing punts and kickoffs for him, as well as being the most targeted receiver on offense. So he's made a big impact on their team.
All right, good stuff. More Patriots All Access back right after this. Then we have the Bellestrader.
Coming up on All Access.
On the Bellestrader, Coach Belichick recalls a Dolphins team that beat him 13 weeks ago.
That's the proverbial meeting at the quarterback.
I've seen enough. I don't think he fits in the system. I think you'd have to get rid of him.
But first, former Patriots greats turn broadcasters.
They remember those two negative things, or those two things that aren't so favorable. And they get upset and they get real sensitive.
You're watching Patriots All Access.
Patriots All Access is brought to you by Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots. And by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. This player profile is brought to you by Pepsi. Pepsi and the New England Patriots, a wicked good team.
Many former Patriot players have taken to broadcasting after their football careers are over. Guys like Scott Zolak and Christian Fourier, who we are lucky to have on All Access. Three former prominent Patriot players chose the same path. What's surprising about that is they came from a culture here in New England where talking is frowned upon. Yet all three have succeeded at some of the highest levels in network television.
Okay, hi, Rod.
Might talk about Zach Ertz, tight end, Philly.
I never anticipated that I would be in the media.
Yeah, right there, because then I can highlight here the move. There's Batonio, there's Joe Thomas getting the movement. Retirement came along, and then I started to figure things out because I didn't know what I wanted to do, really.
Top of the B block, we'll start with the Patriots practicing in the rain today.
Nothing's changed.
The odds of a football player having a long career is not great. I mean, I think our average is about 3.5 years. So, of course, you got to have a plan B and C for that matter.
After 13 years of football, 13 years of NFL football, 13 years of Patriot football, I'm retiring. I was lucky. I was so lucky because I retired and 3 days later they called me and they offered me a job. And I said, where is it? And they said, Bristol, Connecticut. And I said, how far of a drive is that? Do I have to move? And they said, no. And I said, okay, I'll give it a shot.
You have to deal with him on every down. So much more valuable to me than a corner on the outside where you can choose not to go against.
There's a Rodney Harrison strip right there, baby.
The quarterback is still standing.
Some studio space opened up, and they said, hey, we would like for you to come in and work in conjunction with Tony Dungy and Dan Patrick and Keith Olbermann at that time. And I was like, wow, I was kind of taken back because there's so many guys out there trying to do this, and this is something that I wasn't necessarily pursuing. And the opportunity opened up, and I said, you know, why not?
I don't think I ever was truly nervous. I think the problem that I had at first was hurrying. You know, just being too fast, thinking I didn't have as much time as I did. The very first time was, all right, 5 seconds in the show, guys, when the, you know, 5 seconds onto the jib. And I said, what's a jib? And they said, Teddy, just follow the red light.
We don't talk, we produce. We don't talk, we play.
Now I'm not afraid to express myself, but Bill Belichick was my leader back then. And what you did if you played there, I mean, to have a team, you all had to be on the same page.
No matter what running back it is, no matter what offensive lineman it is, they're scoring points, they're moving the ball. As I look at them offensively, I just see a good team no matter who's in there.
Bill taught me too well.
He taught me to do my job, but I don't work for them anymore. You know what I mean? I don't work for the New England Patriots. I work for ESPN.
Going up against Tony Romo as a player, you know eventually he's going to throw it to you, and all you got to do is catch it.
Oh, boy.
And it was tough. I mean, there's times that we wanted to lash out, but we understood that was our motivation. You know, we loved it when teams lashed out and said things about us.
I don't see any creativity when it comes to this offense and the players that they have surrounding
him. Well, I think in the beginning it was a little difficult to criticize, especially friends.
Why are you throwing the ball so much when you have a struggling young quarterback? You need to run the ball.
What I like to do as an analyst and as a former player is if I criticize you or I tell you all the things you did wrong, then I'm going to offer a few things that you can do to improve.
Well, if I'm Phillip Rivers, I have to make Antonio Gates the number one option, and you have to find a way to get Keenan Allen back involved in this offense.
Sometimes when you give your opinion, it may not be the most popular opinion. I mean, the most popular thing. It may not be something that a lot of players like, but it's my opinion. And one thing I try to do is I just try to be fair with everyone.
I mean, if you need six more games to determine if he's going to be a future quarterback, you need a new coach and a new scouting department.
That's just the way I am. And players get upset. You know, they forget about the 20 times that you patted them on the back and talked about how great they were.
I've seen enough. I don't think he fits in the system. I think you have to get rid of him.
But all of a sudden, you say one or two things on national television, they remember those two negative things or those two things that aren't so favorable. And they get upset and they get real sensitive.
Geno.
Well, he has to have some type of
confidence. I would just say.
The D-line depth chart for the Rams.
That's all.
And I'm going to say how the safeties are special, but the disguise is good, but this isn't a special defense.
I'm not surprised that any of us ended up going this route because, to tell you the truth, it's this or coaching.
That's how upset specials feel.
But I think our personalities still come through pretty well through the lens or through the microphone.
You can't throw it up for grabs if you're Tom Brady. This game is too important.
Those guys, they played at a high level. They understood the game. It's easy for them to transition, you know, on stage or behind, you know, in front of the camera and talk about football. And you believe them because they not only they talk about it, they went out and they did it on the field.
You see that?
It just makes me really proud to see those guys. I mean, because you see the guys that are on TV are some of the guys that study the most. Bruschi, one of those guys, you can ask him anything, and he knows it right off the top of his head. Same thing with Willie McGinnis. So it's really no surprise that those guys have reached a level of broadcasting success that they've reached. Really proud of those guys. It's really fun to have played with those guys and really sit back post-career and see the success that they're having.
Time now for Turf, brought to you by Gillette. Look at this. Cold, wet, dreary Foxborough. Dolphins are going to be doing this.
It's cold.
Ooh, it's cold. Well, let's talk about pressure, because going back to week one, the Dolphins generated pressure rushing only four, and the Patriots have done that as of late. How do you get pressure running four?
You run some stunts, run some games, miscommunication, get these offensive linemen for the Miami Dolphins thinking too much.
Defense is going this way, so you come here.
All right.
I'm Cameron Wake on the outside. Now, we'll get into nine technique stuff and talk about that. Talk about running games. What are you doing as the inside
guy? What I'm going to try and do is, if I know you're coming around, I'm going to try and engage them and get these guys, get the tackle, get the guard to come attack me.
And I'm keeping this as close to your rear
there
end.
You go.
Not that I like that, but I'm coming up underneath right here trying to go right for the quarterback
now.
Yeah,
you're hoping the offensive guard or the tackles open up their shoulders to give you an easy pass, and by the time they figure out it's too late, the gate has been open, sack.
So you're setting the edge. I'm coming up underneath, moving the middle of the pocket, and you're closing it down. All right, nine technique. I'm going to be Sebastian Vollmer. You be Cameron Wake. Show them what a nine technique is.
So here's head up is a six.
Yep.
Inside's a seven.
Football
here's
terms.
A tight nine. Okay, wide nine, right? This
it's like
is
you're
scary.
Blocking a punt.
Right? You can't hear anything. He gets a lot of space between you. And
your
here
job
comes
is to
Cameron
give me
Wake.
Stepping back.
You know, I want to get you going backwards. Yep. I want to use your own momentum against you, get you going backwards, losing your feet. You got to keep a wide base. You got to be focused. Don't look at all the hand movements.
Yep.
Look at his waist. Be steady.
Speaking of hand movements, got a little salsa.
It's
It's a hat and t-shirt game as the Patriots have the opportunity to clinch the division with a win over the Miami Dolphins. I'm Jackie Britton, and here are the storylines this week. The Patriots could earn themselves a home playoff game if they indeed clinch the division this weekend, and a win would also give them their sixth straight AFC East title. Now, one factor that has attributed to their success this season is their ability to capitalize when inside the 20. New England is first in the league when it comes to scoring the most points in the red zone. But to that point, the challenge will be getting there. Miami's defense is among the best when it comes to defending the deep ball, with the third best pass defense in the league. That will do it for the storylines this week. Now let's get to our opponent news, brought to you by Geico.
The opponent news is brought to you by Geico.
The Dolphins come to Foxborough desperate for a victory. They know they've beaten the Patriots once this season and need another win to keep their season alive.
I mean, it's December 14th when it's kickoff time in New England. We're playing an outstanding opponent, and we need to play our best football game of the year. And that's, you get paid as a coach to get your team to play up to their potential. And so that's what we have to do.
It's time now to send things over to Scott Zolak and Bill Belichick as we learn what to expect against the Dolphins this Sunday. It's time for the Belistrator.
All right, welcome back to the show, Patriots All Access. Time now for the Belistrator. Coach, special teams, big part of what you guys do as a team, and here's Miami.
Miami's very good in the kicking game, and Jarvis Landry has given them a big boost in the return game on both kickoffs and punts. Here he's returning the kickoff against Detroit, and see, he gets, he's a guy that really likes to get upfield, runs hard. He's got good quickness, nice move here in the open field to cut back. And then, wow, you know, makes a real good spin move right there at the 35-yard line. So he's given them a lot of production as a returner. He's also their most targeted receiver, leading receiver in terms of number of catches. He's given them some big plays and a real boost in the kicking game. So these guys do a good job of returning kicks, blocking kicks, and they're very good in the kicking game. All right, so, again, here's Landry in the San Diego game. He's got some space here.
Yeah, he almost had no chance there. Wow.
And then, you know, gets to the sideline. But I think, you know, I mean, it's so far, that's, you know, a lot of returners would probably get about what he's getting there. But, you know, you can see his aggressiveness, his toughness, staying in bounds, his running strength here. They can't quite get him out. Drops his shoulder, gets a few extra yards, runs hard down the sideline. He's given some good field position plays. So we're going to have to do a great job in terms of our leverage, our lane distribution, and most importantly, our tackling, and do a good job on Landry there.
That's a big thing for offenses, too, because you'll pretty much call anything in midfield as opposed to being back up where you're kind of conservative.
That's right.
All right.
Real good kick-blocking team. Of course, we found that out in the opener. You know, they like to run some of these stunts inside, but they also have good edge pressure and good edge rushes. You know, this is a big play. It turned the Jet game around with Jordan coming up at the middle on the block.
All right, field goal.
Same thing in the field goals. Again, you know, big push inside here. Looked like there's any one of about three or four guys going to block this kick. But great pressure, hands up. I mean, just a wall of bodies there. Can't kick it over them. And again, this is, you know, indoors, good conditions. But big plays in the kicking game have been a big part of Dolphins' success this year. They've, you know, only scored a couple touchdowns, but they've had a couple plays like this where they run it back to the, you know, 5-10-yard line. And
we got, what, defensive pressure off the edge, and only rushing, what, four?
Right, well, three actually.
Three now.
Right, they dropped Jordan out, and so this is Wake off the bottom, Vernon and Olivia off the top, and that's the proverbial meeting at the quarterback.
Yep.
Three-man rush. Yep. So, again, our pass protection here is really, it's going to be critical for us in the game. These guys do a great job of stopping the run, getting you into passing situations, and then they have a lot of good pass rushers, Odric and Starks inside.
It's amazing how wide they get. You know, still, I remember doing this week one with you, looking at Miami, how wide those ends get.
Right. They really get a lot of momentum to the quarterback. We get the spin here, kind of speed to power up on top, but that's it's amazing, really, that Flacco was able to hang on to the ball here. You can see he's got it extended out there away from his body when he gets hit, but he's able to somehow pull it in. But these guys are, you know, it's a good pass-rushing team. And, you know, we got in a lot of trouble down there in the first game when we fell behind and had to throw it every down. Sure. It's not where you want to be against.
Big opportunity for your football team. Go get them.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. There's your Bell Schrader More of All Access back right after this.
Patriots All Access is brought to you by Putnam Investments. Putnam, new ways of thinking for financial advisors, their clients, and institutions worldwide. And by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots. And by Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots. Patriots All Access is brought to you by GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Touchdown here tonight. Oh, Patriots, Patriots, it's that time of year.
For the 21st season, the Patriots Charitable Foundation hosted their annual holiday party. More than 250 children in need from Salvation Army community centers were on hand for a night of food,
Thank you.
No problem. Fun, and great memories.
Come out here and, you know, spend a couple hours with some kids who, you know, end up making you have more fun than they have. I love it.
Merry Christmas.
Welcome back to Patriots All Access, everyone. Time now for our panel discussion in our Bob's Discount Furniture studio with Mike Reese and Paul Perillo. And is it fair to say, or is it fair to ask, that this team has gotten closer together coming off that San Diego trip, Mike?
Oh, for sure, Steve. I think it's fair to ask, and I think it's true. I mean, I heard it from multiple players. The one that stands out to me was from cornerback Darrell Revis, who said he'd never done this before in his eight-year career. He sort of painted the picture of all the players hanging around together at the team hotel, and he said this is the time of year when you want to be at your best, and you want to know that the guy next to you has your back. I think that environment sort of fostered that.
You know, in a different kind of intangible quality, I thought. Fourth quarter, you go into that quarter losing by a point, mm-hmm. and I think you really dominated the fourth quarter on the road in the second of back-to-back road games, and you wonder how much of that they had a little bit more in their legs than San Diego did. Not, you know, San Diego had to be in Baltimore. They traveled all the way across the country. The Patriots avoided that cross-country flight by going right from Green Bay. Did it have I don't know how much of an impact it had, but they were the stronger team down the stretch.
Are you guys convinced that the defense can carry this team if Brady and the offense sputter at times?
Yeah, you know what? This was the kind of game that they used to win routinely in the championship days, 03, 04, and that kind of, you know, it didn't always have to be about the offense. They would get a lead, and then that was it. You know, once you felt like you were ahead, if you ever got a two-score lead early in the game, it was game, set, match. This game, I felt like at 14-13, they were losing, and I felt like the Patriots were in total control. Yes, I have that faith in the defense now, and I haven't had it for a long time.
Decisively, yes, on my front. I think a couple things stand out. You know, they did this without Dante Hightower, and they did it without Chandler Jones, who we thought might be coming back. So I think the depth of the unit certainly stands out to me. Also want to point out the acquisitions, Akeem Ayers, Jonathan Casillas, Alan Branch, three really strong, you know, in-season acquisitions or signings by Bill Belichick. And also the depth of the secondary. You know, they've been in the sub-defense so much over the last six games, this crucial stretch that everyone was talking about. People are healthy in the secondary. They're playing fairly well, you know, outside of maybe the Green Bay game where there was a little bit of a blip there with some of the reserve, you know, backup cornerbacks. But I think those things stand out to me to say this defense is for real.
Miami Dolphins, a team that beat the Patriots first game of the season, but are they a desperate football team?
Yeah, you would think they're desperate. I think that they're actually in disarray right now. I think there's a lot of arguing going on the sideline among players. I know Jared Odrick was arguing with Joe Philbin last week. I think they've had some games against good teams that they've played very well for long stretches of those games, and they find a way to lose at the end. I think you're getting a wounded animal in here, and one of two things is going to happen. Either they are going to be all-spirited, I think they're going to roll over and know that it's over for them.
But it's a must-win for them. If they lose,
it is a must-win, no question about that.
This is their season, Steve. Right. And everything Paul said, I agree with, and more. I mean, you're talking about a potential regime change. I mean, I happen to believe that Joe Philbin is an excellent head coach, and I'd like to see him get a fourth year down there. But if they lose this game after the way they ended last season, you remember they beat the Patriots in December, and then they had a great opportunity right there for them last year and ended up losing their last two games. If they have a similar finish this year and roll over, like Paul said, you could be looking at a regime change down there.
All right, prediction time. What do you got?
I think the Patriots will get their revenge, and I think it could be easy, but I'm going to assume that Miami shows up to play and the Patriots will win 27-17.
I'll go 34-17 Patriots almost. What this reminds me of is that year when they lost to the Bills in the season opener, 31-0. Then they beat the Bills at the end of the year, 31-0. Sort of similar, turn the tables on the Dolphins.
So what you're saying is that offense is going to catch fire again.
I think they're right back at it.
All right, guys. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Steve.
Great job
Good
as
to
usual.
Be back.
You're right. That will do it for this week's edition of Patriots All Access. For Mike Reese and Paul Perillo, I'm Steve Burton. Have a great week, everybody. See you later.